Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of MMO Hunters. Today we discuss my full review of Outriders, a little mini review of Monster Hunter Rise, the goings-on in my MMO world, and finally we spend some time talking once again about toxicity and how certain people like to dictate how everybody has to play the game. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello everybody, welcome back to another episode of MMO Hunters. So I it's been a little while. Just some work things have slowed down some of my productions of the podcast. But yeah, I wanted to address a few things that a couple more comments that I got, especially the way the episodes are structured. And yes, if you're wondering, it is supposed to be off the cuff. I don't want to use this as a scripted podcast in terms of talking about things. I have an idea of what I want to talk about, but I like it better if it's sort of just off the top of my head. So I have a few ideas and then I just go from it. So I think the free form works better than a straight scripted podcast because it allows me to delve into things that maybe I wasn't thinking about at the time, and it allows me just to go off into tangents and talk about other things that could be interesting. So yeah, so this off the cuff is on purpose. Like today, I want to talk about three things at least, but maybe four. So I want to give you a bigger review of Outriders, a small review of Monster Hunter Rise, and then I want to go back to everybody's favorite topic of toxicity and how other players like to dictate how we should play the game. So if we talk about Outriders, we'll start with Outriders. I'm still a meh on Outriders, and I would be a complete no on Outriders if it weren't for the fact that I have Xbox Game Pass and I didn't have to pay $60 for it. I just don't like it. I don't think the game is entertaining. I'm also having server stability issues for me personally. It's better than it was, but it's still a situation in which I get kicked more frequently than one should for a game. So, and the loading times are terrible. Almost any time you get somewhere, upload screen, and they're long load screens. And I know I don't have a Series X, I don't have a PS5, I'm not playing on PC, I'm playing on a 1X. So I understand that maybe if I had a Series X, things would be different, at least for loading times, but I can't find one. So I can't, try it, so. But I think there could have been some optimizations for the loading screens. I know, like, Anthem had, oh my god, those load times were terrible. And I know they sort of blamed the development process on the load screens. They weren't given adequate time or resources to optimize the load screens. And I wonder if that's the same thing with Outriders. I wonder if they knew the game wasn't completely polished, but they couldn't delay it. And so that's why the load screens are the last thing. The load optimizations weren't put into place. At least that's what it feels like to me. And server stability is, it still shouldn't be, we should not pay for a game that's always online and have the servers be terrible. It should never happen at launch. We're not paying $60 for a beta. That's part of the reason why when it was announced for Xbox Game Pass, I sort of had in the back of my head, it's not going to be a great game. That's why Square Enix was like, sure, fine, put it on. Because it got the word out. It got people like me excited for it, at least to try it, because I had no interest in it. I didn't touch the demo. It just seemed like a basic run-of-the-mill looter shooter with a couple of unique aspects to it. And honestly, those unique aspects aren't anything special. So the story is stupid. I'm sorry. I think the story is dumb. But, sometimes it's fine. Like, the story doesn't have to be great. As long as the gameplay is enjoyable, and the story is meaningless to me. But when the gameplay isn't very good, when you're having crashes, server stability issues, load times through the roof, and the story is bad, then it sort of just piles on. So the story is dumb. I'm not interested in the story. The character, your main character, is not likable. They are not a likable person. there are times when they seem likable and then all of a sudden they do something horrible and you're like, why? It's just, the world isn't very good. It's not a fun game based on the story. And coupled with this always online and not being able to realistically find people to play with, and when you find people to play with, it's more enjoyable. But the problem is, finding someone to play with is tough. And then it comes down to the core game mechanics. And I just am not into the core game mechanics. So it's not a cover-based shooter, even though there's cover everywhere. The cover is for the enemy, it's not for you. Because the way health is replenished, and you have to kill enemies to replenish your health. You have to hit enemies to replenish your health. So the gameplay forces you to run around with like a chicken with their head cut off. So you're constantly running around, you know, trying to pick at the boss, or at least the elite, and then run around and find little minions to kill to replenish your health. Rinse and repeat. So you run forward, do a little damage to the boss, kill some enemies, run backwards, kill some enemies, run forward, back and forth, until the elite or the boss is dead. And it's just, that's, you know, no, I don't find that at all. There's no tactics to it. It's just running around trying to kill little enemies. And because of that, you're always going to be inundated with little minions running around, because if they took away the minions, if you run out of minions, the boss will immediately crush you. Unless you're playing like a techno mage. But even then, the boss will crush you if there's no minions there to replenish your health. So each little minion is a health pack. And it's just, to me, it's not fun. And then you get into fighting the bosses, and they're bullet sponge. Not like Destiny bullet sponge, at least Destiny 1. Or Division bullet sponges, but they're bullet sponges. And they have like mechanics that they do that you can interrupt, but the interrupt system is not meant for solo play. You need to stagger your interrupts with other group members in your squad. But if you don't have a group member in your squad, you can't interrupt anything, basically. You can interrupt one thing, and then 3 seconds later, they'll immediately start recasting it. So this whole interrupt is useless. And to be honest, some of the interrupts don't work. Like, there's like the wind-up time to the interrupt. It hits the boss or the elite, and nothing happens. And so I'm following what they tell me to do. And to be honest, you don't even need to interrupt. You could just dodge and avoid and kill a minion, you know. And then enemy variety. I read that everybody loved this enemy variety. I don't see any enemy variety. I'm killing the same 4 or 5 things over and over again. So I don't see this enemy variety at all. It's not there. It's not present. So I just, you know. And then the game is glitchy. I keep getting stuck on random things, random geometry. My abilities, like throwing grenades, they get stuck at random places. They don't go off. I don't feel powerful. Like, you're supposed to be this, you know, godlike person, and you're so weak. I just don't feel powerful. I feel like I'm constantly running at the knife's edge of death. So I go from full health to almost zero. Full health, almost zero. Full health, almost zero. Constantly. And it's just not fun. I'm just not enjoying it. Like, I can progress in the game pretty easily if I wanted to. Of course, you could drop the world tier all the way to zero. Or, like, a story mode and breeze through it. But, which is fine if you wanted to do that. If you like the story and you just wanted to do that. I know I did that in a couple games that I just was sort of interested in the story, but I just wasn't interested in the gameplay. What was it? The Star Wars game. The new one. I just wasn't interested in the gameplay. The gameplay to me felt clunky, but the story was interesting enough, so I just dropped it down just to beat the game, just to see what it's all about. You know, which is fine to do. And actually, I want to talk about that a little bit later, but the other aspect is the difficulty ramping in Outriders is not good either. Like, you advance in world tiers a little too quickly, so the gear, the drop rate for good gear compared to the XP you get doesn't sync up. So you are like at world tier, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, and you have gear that is from like world tier 2. So the scaling's a little off, but they let you adjust it, so it doesn't really matter. So I had to drop it down a few levels, get some gear, and then put it back up, and then adjust it down, get some gear, and put it back up. And that was fine. It's just the pacing isn't there. It doesn't match from it. And that's the other thing. Like, at endgame, you're literally just doing the same things over and over again, just with a higher difficulty level to get better loot. So there's no advancement with the expeditions and things like that. And to me, it's just, it's not lazy, because there is an end game, you know. It's there, you have an end game, you finish the game, and then you do other things. So it's not like lazy development and things like that. It's just, I'm just not interested in it. You know, maybe if the load times were better, maybe if the server stability was there, maybe I might enjoy it a little bit more, but I just, the mechanics I don't like. I'm just not having fun with the mechanics of the game, so I would say pass on it. It's not worth $60. But if you have Xbox Game Pass, at least the console version, well, if you have Xbox Game Pass, you have both. But if you have an Xbox, download it. You're essentially not paying $60 for it. You've already paid for it. Download it. Play it. Maybe you'll like it. But I wouldn't recommend if you have a PC only, or if you are a PlayStation. Don't. It's not worth your money. I would say no. No. It's not. I think I had more fun in Division, to be honest. Division 1 and 2. I think I enjoyed those games a little bit better. So, there's that. So, yeah. So, Monster. Talk about that in a second. So, Outriders is it's not a good game. I'm not sure what they were trying to do, but I hope they weren't trying to reinvent the looter-shooter genre, because they certainly did not do that. But I'm a little baffled by some of the reviews I read of the game. Although Angry Joe, if you look at him, like, I know there's some problems I agree with that. But some of the other reviews, like the traditional reviewers, they really liked the game. I don't know what game they were playing. They were not playing the same game I was playing. So I'm a little surprised. Actually, no, I shouldn't be. We should not be surprised that the, I'm just going to call them the establishment video game reviewers or game whatever, PC or, you know, like the game. You know, they're problematic for a lot of things. So I'm not surprised. But my personal opinion, as I've repeated over and over again, it's a pass. All right. I would almost go as far as say it's a hard pass. But with the one caveat, you have Xbox Game Pass, play it, download it. You have nothing to lose. So the other game I was playing is Monster Hunter Rise, and different outcome, but for me, Monster Hunter Rise is going to be a pass. But if you like Monster Hunter games, like Monster Hunter World, yeah, it's a good game. It's a fun game. I've never been a fan of the Monster Hunter games. I hated the original ones. I know I played a couple of the older ones, and I just know. Monster Hunter World, they did a really good job of at least making it more accessible to other people. And the community in Monster Hunter World was pretty good. I never really ran into any toxicity or anything. I only play on console, so I know typing and stuff is a little harder. But I never had any issues with people being mean when I was terrible. So that's good. And the Switch is going to be no different. It's clunky, Monster Hunter. To me, it feels clunky. I don't like all of the way things are hidden in the game. Like, getting started in the game, I know, is easier than it has been in the past. But it's just, everything is just a convoluted mess to start the game. I don't like the SOS system not being in this. I like the SOS system in Monster Hunter World, and it's not in Monster Hunter Rise, and it bums me out, because I loved picking up a quest, like a quest. I know I can't do this on my own, and I pick it up, I land, fire the SOS, I find the monster, I wait around, 2-3 other individuals come in, and then together we work as a random team, and we kill the boss. It's just not like that in Monster Hunter Rise. At least I couldn't find it. And if it's there, I couldn't find it. you know. And the other thing is, of course, if you have friends who play it, it's great. A couple things. I don't have anybody else. I have a friend who plays the Switch, but they just play Animal Crossing. That's it. Literally it. I tried getting them into Stardew Valley, was too complicated for them. So they just play Animal Crossing. And so, yeah, they're not going to play Monster Hunter. And so that's it. So for me, it's just by myself. And I know people love playing Monster Hunter solo. They love soloing bosses. I do not. And I couldn't find an easy way to call in help. And to me, it's probably going to be a pass, but that's just me. I know the core mechanics is pretty good because the few things that I've done in the game, the few monsters I killed, the few playing of different weapons were pretty good. Although I don't know, I was playing on handheld. I don't really play I don't play Switch outside of handheld. And I had real hard time aiming with the bow. I play bow on Monster Hunter World, and I just wasn't there. I switched to Sword and Shield. That was much better. I tried Lance. That was terrible for me, and I was pretty good at Lance on, and it just seemed weird on the handheld with some of the aiming, but Sword and Shield, so any of the faster weapons seemed to work pretty good. I know they also fixed, I don't say fixed, but they made Hunting Horn a little bit easier, and I know apparently that's the meta. So my review on Monster Hunter Rise is, for me, it's probably going to be a pass. But if you like Monster Hunter World, you're going to like this game. It's pretty much the same game. It's a good game. It was fun also having... You can have two Palicos apparently out. And there's another thing that annoys me. When you create your Palico, you pick whether you want your Palico to be a healer or... You pick your class. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to change it. Because what if I don't want my Palico to be a healer? I know you can, like, have other pets and stuff with you, but it was stupid. Let me switch. Let me switch immediately. Don't make me try to unlock it. Be like, hey, this is the initial starting. You want your Palico to heal? Great. If you want to change your Palico, hit this button and switch your Palico to damage or to defense or whatever else the other ones were. The dogs, the Palamutes were fun, too. You can ride them. It makes getting around quicker. The little insect things that you can jump around with made some of the abilities better. So, I mean, overall, it's a better game than I'm making it sound. But to me, it just wasn't fun. And that's the big thing. Fun. And I know if I had friends. And this is how these types of games get away with not being the greatest in terms of story or gameplay or end game, is if you can play with somebody else, the entertainment value quadruples. It's like a synergistic effect. And so if you have friends who are into Monster Hunter Rise and you're like, I don't know, buy it and play with them, you'll have a really good time. You can even say the same about Outriders. But if given a choice, I only have X amount of money, but I think Monster Hunter Rise will give you more value than Outriders will any day of the week. So I'd say Monster Hunter Rise is a buy, but just remember, if you're not a fan of Monster Hunter games, I would think really hard about it. If you've never played one and you're kind of interested, I think this game is more accessible than Monster Hunter World. It's more accessible than the old Monster Hunter games. Like, if you buy Monster Hunter Generations or whatever, XX or whatever on the Switch, I think that's a 3DS port. Oh my god. That game, I bought it because I was like, all right, I'm going to play it. Oh, boy. I know, it just, that was awful. So, in the realm of that, it's much more accessible than some of the older ones. So, I would say it's a buy if you like it, Monster Hunter games. If you're somewhat interested, give it a whirl. Maybe you'll like it better than me. Maybe you're not as grumpy as I am when it comes to these types of games. So, but yeah. So, those are the two games that I was playing and two reviews I wanted to give to you. So what else is going on? Well, I've been playing more ESO. As I mentioned previously, I've sort of given up on Final Fantasy XIV. As I said, like, I have no urge to play it anymore. I just like it sounds like I'm burnt out, but I haven't done much in Final Fantasy 14. And it goes back to not being able to find a welcoming free company. And since I didn't find a welcoming free company, I'm sort of just left to fend for myself, and it's just not something I was interested in doing. So, I haven't done anything. I played a couple times with a friend. Apparently, they found a welcoming free company. I don't know. It's weird he didn't mention that I could join that free company, but I'm not going to think about that part. But I think the reason that that free company was more welcoming is because they're bored, and he told me they were bored. They have everything unlocked. They've done everything. They've cleared everything. So they don't do anything. They hang around Limsa all day when they play the game. So when somebody new comes along, they're like, hey, let's do it. And my fear would be when new raids come out, he's going to get shut out. I didn't say that to him. I didn't point that out. I don't want to soil anything. He seems to be enjoying it, and it's not my place to ruin anybody's enjoyment of a game. I just have told him I'm not interested in playing anymore. I don't know. I'm going to lose my house. You know, I have a house. And so I'm like sort of debating, maybe I've already lost it. I don't know. They're supposed to send you an email. I don't know. Maybe I did. Like, I was so excited about a house, but it was more of just the rush of getting it. The house is useless. Absolutely useless in the game. It is useless. There's nothing there. You can argue crops. I'll give you that. If you wanted to spend all that time, I did it. I was getting jute or whatever to sell, and I just don't care anymore. You can train your chocobo, and you can change the coat color of your chocobo, but you can do that with an apartment. So that's null and void on the house. And there's a dummy that you can pick up very easily, and you can practice on it. That was not worth it. Like, I know people spend time on glitching, like, pieces into their houses to do, like, second floors and third floors. Not for me. I'm not interested in that. So this pull of the house is not going to keep me in the game. So I don't know. I'm debating. Like, I might actually just cancel my subscription. I don't play it. Why am I paying money for it? I don't... Because I know I can come back, and all the stuff my character has will be there, and someone can buy the house and do whatever they want with it. I just don't care enough. So, yeah. So I think Final Fantasy 14 might be dead. I'm not excited about Endwalker. It's the same things over and over again with this game. I'm not excited about the new class, the Sage. I don't care. And, you know, it's not changing my opinion on it. Like, there's nothing there. Like, I know people like the story, and I'm not reading a novel when playing, so I'm sorry, I'm lazy. Fully voice acted, and maybe I'll be interested, but I'm just not reading 30 minutes of text. I'm just not. So, yeah, I think I'm done. I know my friend tried to get me to play a couple days ago, and I literally said no. I literally went Sky Shard hunting instead of playing Final Fantasy with him. That was funny. I did Sky Shard farming in ESO instead. Cleared Reaper's March. I don't know. It's just, I wonder if it goes back to I'm getting older. You know, my time is precious to me, and I just don't want to hang around from it. So, yeah, I haven't loaded up since then. Maybe tonight I'll load up. I don't know. I don't know. So yeah, that's Final Fantasy 14. ESO though, I've been moving on. I've been increasing my parse number. I'm getting to an area where I can join real guilds. I have not run Mazatune. I know I said I was gonna. I haven't had time, and it's sort of like the house in Final Fantasy 14. I got the number. I'm happy. I don't know. I mean, do I want to raid? I don't know. Do I want to do trials? I don't know. I don't even think my schedule lines up with when they do it. So I'm just like, eh. I haven't had this urge to do it. Like, I'm thinking of making another character and just leveling that character up. So it's kind of funny when when you have this idea that you want something really bad, and then when you get it, you're like, oh, okay, great. Now what? I'm done. So I think that's what it was. Like, I'm sort of happy where I am, you know. So that's interesting. I was thinking about that a couple days ago. Huh. I got the number, but I have no urge to do Mazatun. I have no urge to do anything with them. They're good people, you know. But I just, I have other things to do. So maybe I'll make the other character. I want a mag character that can do DPS. I want to see if there's any difference. So I haven't, when it's, with the new CP system, of course, they're changing it again, because that's the one infuriating thing about ESO, is like every 3 months, they completely overhaul everything. You have to start from scratch in terms of making a build and gear sets and stuff like that. And it's really annoying. And they're doing that with the champion point system again. So we'll see when, I think, Blackwood comes out, how that's going to be affected. But I want to have at least a mag character that can parse really well. And maybe then I'll feel the need to do it. But I only have... I have my farmer, who has all the, you know, achievements and stuff. And then I have the one DPSer, my Stamsorc. And that's about it. Like, I have a healer that I've not touched. I have a tank that I kind of do a few things with if I need to farm anything in terms of normal dungeons, but it's not really optimized for anything. And that's about it. PvP is a mess in ESO. The lag is just, it's not even worth it. Cyrodiil is a mess. They keep changing proc sets and things. It really boils down to, at least with the PvP stuff, the servers are terrible. And they haven't upgraded the servers yet. And so they're trying to make changes to reduce animations, and they're trying to make changes to reduce server calculations, which is why proc sets are taken out. But what they really need to do is just upgrade the servers. And everybody's hoping and praying that since the Microsoft acquisition, that they're going to spend money. And so far, we don't know. I know everybody's like, oh, Microsoft failed because they didn't upgrade the servers. Well, they're never going to upgrade the servers immediately. It was always going to be a time for them to see what it is before they did that. So I think the one thing that Microsoft was able to get in, like, they announced that they announced a new currency into the game. So you have two currencies. You have a couple. Actually, you don't have two. So you have gold, which you can buy things with. You have, what are they, gems? I can't even think of the name of it. The currency you buy with money, that you can buy like crown crates and stuff like from. And they have transmute crystals and things like that. But they added a new currency. They're adding new currency through the Endeavor system. And the Endeavor system are just random dailies. And you can use those currencies to buy crown crates. So that was a Microsoft thing. Because I think Microsoft has a policy that if you do have things that are in the cash shop, like the crown gems are, there must be a way to earn them in-game. And so that's the Endeavor system. I'm sure the grind for Crown Crate is going to be insane, but it's there, so you don't feel compelled to spend real money. You can sort of grind it. And I think some of the things I saw were pretty simple, you know, from kill X amount of enemies, do X amount of dungeons, you know, make X amount of things with your blacksmith. You know, random things. It wasn't, like, super difficult. I'm sure there's going to be a few things in there that are super difficult, like clear a trial for the, you know, the sweaty end gamers. But I think that's a good change, you know, to have that in there so you can actually earn them. I know loot boxes are problematic, and I go back and forth whether I'm for them or against them. I'm an adult, so I can live without having some of the cosmetics. If I, you know, see them and I like them, maybe I'll attempt. But I'm not the target audience for that. Like, I'm the person who goes to a casino and they hate me because I just don't like gambling money. I don't. I'll play a little bit, but I'll slow play it. And when they raise the buy-in, like on, like at a certain time, like if you're playing craps, it goes from like $5 to $15 or $5 to $10. I walk away. that's just me, so I'm not the target audience. So, but there are others who have to have everything, and the only way to get everything is to spend money, and the odds are terrible with some of the cooler items in the crown crates. Like, you get a lot of junk that they throw at you, and so for that reason, loot boxes are bad. Loot boxes are bad for that reason, in terms of it's a gambling addiction, which you could spend a lot of money really quickly because you're converting real money into another currency. And obviously that's why they do that, because it's like fake money. It's not real money at that point. So that's one of the problems. And the other problem is gatekeeping, toxicity. And so, again, for me, if I don't have a Radiant Apex mount, whatever, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But there are people use it as a toxic weapon against them, and it makes the divide between the haves and the have-nots greater, and it makes some people feel inferior that they can't have all this cool that other people have. And that's something that needs to be addressed and looked into. Because you're right, it's not fair. You know, if you're a whale, you get whatever you want. I know it doesn't impact the game, but, you know, looking cool does impact gameplay, you know. And some people out there, if you don't have any cool costumes or anything like that, they don't want to play with you. They're going to think you're bad at the game because, oh, you don't take the game seriously. A serious player would have some of these things, some of these cool mounts and stuff like that. And so it makes envy so greater. It makes jealousy so greater. And that's not nice or fair to everybody else. There needs to be a way to earn things in game, and there should be a minor shortcut with real money. It's never going to change. You're never going to get rid of microtransactions, but there needs to be an easy way for people to earn it that's not ungodly grindy. Like, I shouldn't be able to walk in, buy one of the coolest mounts for $40 or grind for 3 years. That's not equal. It should take maybe no more than, see, I'm going to say a month, and that's really too long of a time to grind it. Some of these things take too long to get, you know. And that's also where some of the people complain about some of the in-game earnable things, like the skins that you have. I always thought that was weird, call it a skin. But anyways, you change your appearance in the game. And there's plenty of them that you can unlock by doing things. But they're walled off behind difficult dungeons. Difficult vet dungeons that rarely anybody does. And if they do it, it's in a, you know, a little sweaty guild that they're not going to take you unless you have like this DPS number and you prove all these things. So those skins are walled off to people. Then you have some cool mounts. Those are, you're never getting that. You're not getting God Slayer in ESO, on console. You're just not. I know there's a few guilds who don't. You're just not getting it. And you're not getting it on PC either because you're not sweaty enough. And so those mounts are walled off. And so I always hear this argument. I saw this recently on Reddit where they had like this picture of like, look at these losers complaining about all the stuff that is walled off. Look at all the stuff ESO is giving you and all the stuff that they're throwing at you that they say that ESO gives you for free during their DLC. A lot of them are locked behind money. And so, yeah, if you're not willing to be a whale and spend that money, there's very few things you can get in-game unless you're sweaty. And that creates a toxic environment. And there's no reason for it. I am perfectly happy to have some of those things, whether we're talking about, you know, skins, whether we're talking about costumes and mounts, locked behind the hardest content to give those people who dedicate way too much time in the game and cause the game to be a toxic wasteland, fine. But there needs to be intermediate rewards and easy rewards from people. You should have a basic looking mount, a cool looking mount, and a really cool looking mount. If you tiered it that way, not everybody's going to be as upset, and you're not going to have this huge divide between these elite, awful humans and everybody else. It does lead to a ton of toxicity, and I don't care what anybody says. That is, there's no reason for it. You don't need to have this type of toxicity. And Yeah, Bethesda. I almost called them Blizzard. And Bethesda's throwing that at you with the availability of mounts. Like, you really can only get mounts two ways. Be super sweaty or spend a lot of money. There are mounts in between, but for the most part, you need to spend money or you need to be super sweaty. I know there's an Antiquities mount I just got. It wasn't that bad to grind, but that's it. Like, what else? Like, you have to give players something that's cool, even if they're not great at the game. Like, it's not an incentive to give them that God Slayer mount. You're not getting it. I can say that. You're just not getting it. All right? If you don't have it already, you're not getting it. And so there needs to be something in between. So please give them something in between. Like, I have a little bit of money, and I spend it occasionally, and I have some mounts, and I'm cool with that. But, you know, not everybody's cool with that, and it makes them feel inferior. So give them something mount. This is not handouts. Like, I know I mentioned this before. I remember when in WoW, I can't remember exactly when they started doing it. They had, like, Valor points or Justice points. And this was a way that when you did dungeons, this was before they had individual loot. So nowadays, when it drops, it's an individual loot. And that actually really helped to increase everybody's ability to get gear so they can go into dungeons and raids and stuff like that. But before, there was a loot table. And so there was like a 12% chance this would drop, and everybody would roll on it. It's the same thing that happens in Final Fantasy 14 as well, but they're a little bit better about dealing with that because they have a point system, like you get a currency. I remember when they first introduced, I thought that was great. And the reason I thought that was great is because I didn't have that much time to constantly grind dungeon after dungeon after dungeon in hopes not only the gear dropped for me that I could use, but I won the roll. And so the justice points was the same stat level as the other top, not top tier gear, but the top gear that they had for at least dungeon running. And there were guilds that would say they would reject you if you had welfare gear or poverty gear on. And the justice points purchased that. And you know, at the time, I guess I was young. I was younger, and I didn't think about it, what that meant when somebody said that. And now I know exactly what that means. It's horrible. Not everybody has a million people to play with. Not everybody is as good as you, but they still want to enjoy the game. And you're sort of taking away the enjoyment for no reason. You're artificially or arbitrarily gatekeeping somebody because you're a terrible, toxic human. And we're sort of still doing that with cosmetics. Oh, it doesn't affect gameplay. Yes, it does. It 100% affects gameplay if you have rewards attached to it that are unobtainable by most, if not all, of the player's base. It's unobtainable. So yes, it is affecting gameplay. It's affecting how people feel about themselves. And yes, that is important. And don't give me this, oh, millennial stuff. No. It has nothing to do with that. People were garbage humans before millennials existed. The only difference now is we have avenues, we as the human race, to actually point out what's wrong. In the 90s, you didn't have any way of pointing out that. There was no way to reach an audience to tell you how awful that is. Or how disgusting it was to shame people because their DPS wasn't as good. And they did that. They did that to me. And you know what? I did that to people. And it's terrible. And it does affect gameplay with cosmetics. Of course it does. Because it shows that you're either fantastic at the game or you have a lot of money. Oh, I want to be with this person because they have a lot of money. Look at all the cool stuff they have. Or, oh, you got that mount? They got the mount? Oh, they must be really good at the game. Oh, you don't have that mount? Oh, you're terrible at the game. You must not know what you're doing. So it 100% affects gameplay, these cosmetics. And there needs to be a way to earn things in-game, and there needs to be things that you get as rewards for beating easy things, because it might not be easy to that person. Clearing Depths of Malatar, one of the harder dungeons, on normal might be a big accomplishment for a player. Let them have a minion. Let them show it off and be proud of it. It does not affect you sweaty people at all. So what does it matter that they have a reward for an accomplishment you thought was easy? Get off your high horse. It's ridiculous. And so that's my argument against when people say, oh, it doesn't affect gameplay. It most certainly does. It affects how people think about the game, affects how they think about themselves, it affects how much they play the game. Give them something to grind for. Give me something to grind for as well. You know, make me enjoy the game. And I've come across people who are super proud of doing a dungeon that I thought was super easy. Should I say, oh, that's easy, you suck at the game if you find that difficult? I mean, it's ridiculous to think that. And let them be proud of it. You know? I was proud of my parse. And it's not a good parse. Let me have it. What does it matter to you if you can drop 115K? I'm not going to be playing with you, so you don't have to worry about me. So let me be happy with my parse. Let me be happy with the way I play the game. And it's infuriating that people are like that. And I blame content creators for all of this. They are absolutely, maybe not on the whole, but there's a lot of them that are disgusting, toxic wastelands. For a number of reasons. One, they play the game all day long, 7 days a week. There's a streamer who plays, I'm not going to give names, they play Dead by Daylight, and they are awful. They mock the other players, they say how bad they are at the game, this game is easy, if you know this, and I'm like yelling at the screen. You play the game 8 hours a day, 7 days a week for almost 3 years. Of course you know all the ins and outs of every single map. You know the ins and outs of every single ability, the ins and outs of every single killer. So of course you know all of that. What if I only play the game 3 hours a week? You ever think about that? And so the problem is there's people watching and they're like, yeah, and they jump in with all of this, and it's ridiculous. And there was there's so many instances I can go with. There's another game I was watching, I think the Mafia games, and this is a single player game, by the way. I think it was Mafia 1. They just did a remake not too long ago, and I remember, I've never played it, and after watching it, I'm glad I never played it. There's apparently a mission in Mafia where you rig a race, and then you have to win the race. Like you destroy it, but it doesn't matter. And it's not impossible, obviously many people do, but it's a difficulty level of 40 out of 10 for no reason. And a lot of people quit playing the game for it, and they didn't alter it and make it easier in the remake. And I remember watching a streamer, and they were failing it left and right. And it took them, I don't know, it must have taken them like 6 hours to beat it. And I remember somebody posted in the chat, you know, this is terrible, why are you doing it? And they stopped, they paused the game, and they lectured them on how, oh, what, you quit when things are too hard? You give up that easily? And I'm just sitting there, what the hell is wrong with you? This is your job. You get paid to do that. So of course you could bang your head against the wall 6 hours. Because you know what, when you beat it, and they beat it, they got so many donations, they got so many bits, that of course it was worthwhile for them to bang their head against the wall. But let's think about the other person who's just trying to play the game for enjoyment by themselves. And you sort of put this arbitrary wall in front of them for no reason. There's absolutely no reason why it needs to be difficult. Super difficult. There's no reason for it. And it just gets this idea that people see these streamers doing it, these content creators doing it, how they mock other people for complaining things are too hard, and then that bleeds over into Reddit, that bleeds over into the game proper, and that sets up a toxic wasteland for everybody else. And it's content creators are ruining the games. They're ruining online games, because even if they're not good at games, there's always going to be someone in chat or another streamer who's better who will drag them through. Wasn't there a Destiny streamer who everybody thought wasn't very good, but yet they had all the stuff because they were dragged through it? Let's take that into account. So some of the online games have been ruined by streamers. They are creating a toxic environment because they think everything's easy because that's all they do all day. If all you do all day is play one game, you're going to be really good at it. And what about everybody else? I don't have time to play ESO 8 hours a day every day. I don't have time to hone my rotation. I just don't have time. I had time when I was younger, when I was just like in grad school or when I was in undergrad or when I was in high school. I had time, but I don't have time now. So this idea that we have, oh, this instant gratification. No, there's no instant gratification that people want. It's the problem is people started playing video games, like my generation, like millennials and Gen X. They played video games when they were children. Things are different when you're an adult, so we like to think back and wax poetically about it, is the first thing. That's why they're complaining about some changes they're making in WoW Classic, the Burning Crusade. Oh, they're making it easier. Raiding is so much easier now. Yeah, it's easier now. It's easier now for a number of reasons. It got better add-ons, first of all. We have more people playing it, so they're figuring out more strategies. The internet connection is better nowadays than it was back then. I remember playing Team Fortress Classic on a 56K modem where my ping was 250 milliseconds. Of course it's easier now. Your ping is like 12. You know, raiding is easier now. You don't have your parents telling you to get off the internet. You're not playing on barely what we would consider internet. So yeah, things are better. We have more strategies now. We have more people to talk to. So even the hardest content back there is going to seem easier now for all the things I laid out. And that's the other thing. Why does it matter if more people can complete it? Why does it matter? Why do you get so annoyed that somebody beat something? Oh, it was harder back then. Who cares? Who cares? I can't stress that much. Who cares? Who cares that I, as a pleb, can obtain gear and maybe knock out a vet dungeon? Or if I was playing WoW Classic or even retail WoW and I got into, oh, it's harder back then. Who cares? Let me enjoy it. You do your thing. Let me do my thing. All right? Who cares? Me being successful has no impact on your life. It's not your life's mission to make it worse for everybody else just because you spend all day playing it. It is a choice to play the game all day. That's your choice. But don't take it away from me who can't play all day because I have other things I would rather do. And that's fine if you want to play the game all day. But there should be things that are accessible for people like me. And it's getting harder and harder for companies to do that because people get upset that, oh my God, you make it hard, like story mode in a game. That's the other thing that really just boggles the mind. If they put story mode, and story mode in the game means it's super easy, you're not going to die, but you want to watch the story. You like the story. And who cares if I play on story mode and you play on super hard difficulty level? What does it matter to you that I played on story mode? I'll admit, I played the Star Wars game. I forgot what it's called. First Order, New Order, I don't even know. I played that game on story mode. I didn't like the combat. I found it clunky, and I was curious to see how the story played out. So I played it on story mode. I don't care what anybody thinks. I enjoyed the game on story mode. I did not enjoy the game on a higher difficulty level because it just wasn't enjoyable to me. And what is that? Why does that bother people? You're not ruining the game experience for you if I'm playing on story mode and you're playing on super high difficulty. And again, it brings me back to the streamers. If you watch anybody, any streamer, not all of them, of course, there's a few who admit it and it's fine. Like, oh, I'm playing, you know, Resident Evil 7 on Madhouse difficulty level. Oh my God. Doesn't make you a better gamer. I don't care. And so people read that and they say, oh, well, then everybody should play. And some streamers say that. You can't enjoy a game unless you enjoy difficulty. What you think is difficult is different than what I think is difficult. And what you enjoy is what's different than what I enjoy. So please stop it. It's ridiculous. Like, I watch a lot of streamers. I don't subscribe to many of them. But I watched another streamer. They were playing a game, and I think they're playing Binding of Isaac, which I don't like. I didn't find fun, but I kind of like watching other people play it for some reason. It's kind of weird. I always used to like watching other people play video games. So even before, you know, Twitch and all that, when I was growing up, I would just sit and watch my friends play video games, just talk to them while they played. And I just liked it. So that's why when Twitch, I kind of like watching people play video games. But they were playing Binding of Isaac, and I think, I don't chat either, I just lurk, always. But someone in chat was complaining about how they didn't like the game, and they thought the game's difficulty level was arbitrary. And the streamer stopped again and scolded the person, like, oh my god, that's what makes a game, a difficulty level. You're not truly enjoying the game unless you play it at a higher difficulty level. And I'm always taken aback by that, like, an easy way to answer that would be, well, you know, you're right. You might not enjoy it. I can appreciate that you don't enjoy it. It's not something you enjoy. But I enjoy playing games at a higher difficulty level. I don't think they enjoy it at a higher difficulty level because they know if they play it on a higher difficulty level and they succeed, they're going to get subscriptions, bits, and donations. And of course, they beat something that was difficult and they got a pipe train started immediately after. So it's phony when they say that. They know if they beat a game on easy, they're going to get mocked and they're not going to get anything. If they beat a game on hard, even if it takes them forever, they're going to get more money. And so that's why they've sort of talked themselves into they enjoy difficulty. They do not. I just know they don't. But economically, it makes sense for them to play at difficulty and bang their head against the wall. Because they're not playing for enjoyment anymore. They're playing for money. This is their job. And I understand that. And I'm cool with it. But I'm not cool with them being mean. I'm not cool with them being toxic. Because words matter. People are watching how you interact with other people. And the chatters, the people watching your stream, are always going to take your side. So if somebody comes in, and we're not talking about saying racist things. We're not talking about being a dick on purpose. We're talking about if someone comes in and disagrees with something like, oh, I think it's too difficult. I think it needs to be balanced. And the streamer immediately jumps down your throat. Everybody else in chat is going to do the same thing. Everybody else in chat is going to, you know, team up on that person. And for no reason. There's better ways to handle it. And the streamers do not know how to deal with situations because they don't care. Easiest way would be like, well, I can see your point. I agree. You know, it might be a little bit more difficult, but you know, this is, even if they're lying, this is something I enjoy. And you know, that's what's great about being human. People enjoy different things. So sit back and watch it and enjoy it. And if not, that's cool. You can leave if you think this, but I didn't make the game. So I can't adjust the balance. You know, you would have to speak to the developer of the game to make changes to it. Something like that, instead of jumping down their throat saying, you don't know what you're doing, you're bad at games. Like, there's just better ways to deal with it, and we give these influencers who know nothing about anything, I hate the term influencers, we hold them on a pedestal, and they're phony, and they're toxic, and they're ruining the experience for all of us. They truly are. Like, this whole idea in ESO that you have to have a 70, I've seen 90k parses required for vet trials. You do not need 90k DPS to beat a trial. That is to speed run the trial. You absolutely could beat it with everybody outputting 30k DPS. 100%. Every trial in the game, every dungeon in the game, you can beat it. The difference is these stupid content creators say, oh, you got to beat it in 5 minutes. You don't beat it in 5 minutes, you're bad at the game. And so there's 20,000 people watching it. And those 20,000 people talk to a couple people. And already, boom, we have 100,000 people thinking, if you can't beat it in 2.5 minutes or 5 minutes, you're terrible at the game. It's idiotic. You do not need that high DPS to beat, at least in ESO. There are some other games. I know WoW, they had some checkpoints, like in Rage Timers, like a DPS race. That's slightly different. But even then, you don't need as high as what these people throw out there as demanding. And we can do that now because it's easier to contact people. It's easier to get in touch with people. And that's, that's toxic. You can beat these things without it. You know, the latest thing now in ESO is CP champion points numbers. So the developers in ESO don't know what they're doing in terms of trying to make end game and things like that better. They're trying their best. And so they introduced a champion point system, and they slowly were upgrading how many points. And it's split three ways. You know, you get a point for, right now it's a point for like crafting stuff, you know, for gathering, a point for damage, and a point for defense. And it's split that way. So when you level, you get one of the three. And it's standard. So like level one, you get the green, which is crafting. Then the next level will be red, which is the defense. And the next level is blue, which will be damage. And then just repeats that way. So you actually don't get a champion point in each one each time you level. And so they started implementing that. I don't know what the vet system was because I didn't play back then. And so they slowly added more and more champion points. And for the longest time, they capped it at 810. And so a lot of players were at 810. And the gear that you get scales to 160. Once you hit 160, you don't get any better gear. And so that was the minimum. And so they used to have minimums of, you know, 300 champion points to do this, 500 champion points to do this, things like that. And I think that was like the maximum. Like, I think 300 champion points back in the day was the maximum points you needed to have your resources recovery. And then I think 500 was sort of like where the DPS sort of, the return investment on champion points sort of peaked. And then 810, obviously, you had everything. So they revamped the champion points recently. And instead of 810, they expanded it to 3,600. 3,600 is the max. And so now, if you don't have like 1,500, they won't take you, no matter what. I've seen that before. I've seen a couple things in Kraglorn, which is the area where people recruit. I don't know why. It's just, you know, there's always an area in any MMO where people just congregate. And so Kraglorn is the area where people congregate in ESO. And I've seen two things. I've seen the, you know, show us a parse of 70k for even normal raids. I've seen that, which is mind-boggling. But I've also seen 1,500 as the minimum CP requirement before they'll take you. Doesn't matter about parsing. And so there's no reason. You don't need that. I can understand you don't want to take somebody who's below 160 because since it's personal loot, but it's personal loot that you can trade with everybody in the group. So if you got an item you already have, you can trade it with somebody. But if you're like CP 50, you're going to get a CP 50 gear as opposed to 160. So I understand that. I'm perfectly fine with that. It sucks for the person, but honestly, you shouldn't be in a you shouldn't be doing a trial at below CP 160. You should level up to 160 at a minimum for that. And there's plenty of ways to level, but there's no reason for it. And the only reason for that is because streamers are saying, oh, you're not good. You don't have the full capacity unless you're at this CP level, which is asinine. There's no reason for that. All right? I understand we don't want to waste our time, you know, banging your head on a boss, but you know what? If a full-blown speedrun does the entire thing in 2 hours, 2.5 hours is not that long of a time. So it's ridiculous that what we're doing by listening to these out of touch humans who are completely not playing the same game we are, they're completely out of touch, is just mind boggling. And it's infuriating that we're dealing with this. I've also seen people say you can't use Zynodes builds in ESO. So, little backstory on that. So, there are a couple content creators that make builds, and these are the sweaty min maxers. There's this content creator, Zynode, and he makes unique builds. I like some of the builds, and if you go on the forums occasionally, they hate his builds. They think they're trash. They won't take anybody with it. They say they don't have a good parse. I don't know. I used to use his Easy Sork. I thought it was a fun build. I didn't parse with it at the time. I didn't know. I'm actually trying to get some of the gear, and I've been farming for it just a curiosity. But it's just infuriating what we're doing now for no reason. You know, who cares? Use his build. It's fine. You know, if you pump out, I think if you can pump out, I don't know, 55k DPS, that should be enough for any trial. That should show that you have an idea of how a rotation works. You have an idea of how to actually complete a rotation, and you have some basic idea of popping synergies, as well as using potions, as well as light weaving. It shows that you have the basic skills needed to be successful in a trial. The only thing you need to do is add the mechanics, which come in time. And that should be like the minimum. That should be good enough. You shouldn't have to have these high numbers. I don't care if Alcast, another streamer, can finish Sunspire in 20 seconds. Who cares? He's a streamer. People are going to be flying to him. He's always going to get the best of the best. Anyway, so I'm sorry that I've been rambling. It's just been bothering me, just seeing some of this stuff. And I don't know why we're in a situation now where some unknown streamers get to dictate how we play the game. And we have to do what they say. It's just, it rattles me a little bit when you think about it. They're ruining the games. They 100% are ruining the games. And I think these games are supposed to be enjoyable. Let us enjoy the game. So, oh boy, anyway. Sorry about that. It's a long rant. Whoa, it's much longer than I normally go. So, well, you know, if you have any comments on this, maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you think my positions are ridiculous. That's fine. We can have disagreements on this. But, yeah. So, I'll continue playing some games. Maybe I'll have another game or two I'll talk about next time. But, yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, you know, 5-star rating. If you didn't, no, just don't review it. Leave it blank. Subscribe if you like it. I'm always around to listen to comments and concerns everybody has. But, yeah. Take care.